Welcome to Satsang. In the last satsang that we had, which was what the most important thing to focus on is, I want to dive a little deeper into that to hopefully clarify a little bit even more. And what I basically said last satsang was that the only choice we have, the only free will we have in any moment, is where our attention is. Is it on that part of us that is moving, changing, and growing and becoming, which also includes the seeker, the seekingness, the trying to get somewhere? Or is it on that part of us that is flawless already, that is already stable, that is already permanent, is unchanging, and is already here now? So am I focusing in any particular moment on that which is already free, happy, peaceful, complete, worthy, all of that? Or am I focusing on that aspect of myself, manifestation, that is becoming and striving to get somewhere? Because that really is the only thing we have any control over. And when I began to really get that, grasp that on a deeper level, it became clearer that that was the most important thing, that only thing I could really ever control was how much, how strong, how burning my desire was to know that formless aspect of my being, that aspect that is everywhere at all times, in all places. And to know it with such an utter clarity and conviction, a depth of certainty that was unshakable by anything that happened in my life at all or could happen, even and including the end of the physical body. That became very important, very, very urgent for me at some point. And that's the reason that you're listening to these words also, because at some point, or maybe right now, there's an urgency developing that somehow, some way, I just have to know that in the entirety of what that means. And it's not a one-time event. It's deepening for me every day, that urgency, the fire to know what I am, no matter how much is revealed to me about myself, which also includes all of you. That fire never goes out. It gets stronger. Really what we're talking about is love, isn't it? Love of the self, love of myself, love of yourself, love of everything that is. What I'd like to try to speak about today is really how to come to know that. What are the things that really made a difference in terms of coming to this unshakable, unstoppable recognition that never left me no matter what occurred? The first one of those I spoke about last time, and that is, where is my attention in any moment? I can tell how strong my desire is by how much time I spend curious about what I really am, what reality really is. And I can tell how much I'm caught up still in my illusions by how often my mind drifts off to other people, other things, other places, other issues that aren't a recognition directly of what I really am. Sometimes I'm thinking about what it is to be infinite, and sometimes I'm thinking about what it is to be finite and limited and separate. As I began to recognize my attention was drifting more and more to what was most important to me, which is what I really am, that wasn't just living in a thought-free place. So we could get into a recognition of the infinite silence of our being right now, spend time as that silence. And what happens after that? where is the majority of my thought process going, my contemplation going? Because we're always in contemplation of something, and we're always inquiring about something. And we always have control over what we're inquiring about. So whether I direct my attention to inquiring about the truth or not is up to me. And just to be able to pay more attention to what am I thinking about here also. There's nothing wrong with thoughts. It's not the goal or the end point of awakening to stop all thoughts. But really to come to a place where thoughts are a secondary tool that you use when you want to. So are you doing that right now? Is your mind stream this constant talkingness that mind does? Is it being directed on purpose? Or is it just running off on autopilot? Because if we let our mind run off on autopilot, it's going to think about, it's going to reinforce, recreate problems that appear to be real as a separate being. Firstly, where is my attention? Is it on what is real or what is unreal? When it's on what is unreal, can I change it back? Can I move it back? Certain skill sets that every sage or awakened being has developed within them through a process of constant reaffirmation of these skill sets. They can be developed by anyone at any time, but there has to be within that a sense of focusing on it. So here are the skill sets that really I developed within my own self when I recognized that they were important. And you might recognize, as I'm saying this, certain places in your own journey where these could become stronger within your own self. First of all, as I said, attention. Where is your attention most of the time? Or perhaps clearer said, where is your attention when you have free time? Outside of your formal meditation, outside of your job, outside of anything that needs to use your mind to, you know, that you need to focus on to do that. When you have some spare time, what are you focusing on? 100% of my spare time at first, my attention was on phenomena. So I was thinking about things, other beings, things that I thought were separate to me. So it's the first thing I began to develop, this first skill set, the habit of cultivating attention back, putting attention back, checking in. Where is my attention right now? What am I thinking about? What is it on? Is it on the background of all experiences? Or is it on a particular experience? And then secondly, am I cultivating an attitude of challenging the thoughts that everyone else takes for granted? This became also all-consuming. What thoughts am I believing that the sages have actually really deeply questioned and challenged? Because if I do the same as they have done, I will get the same results as they've got. And we might have come to see in our inquiry, in our meditation, through putting attention on the formlessness, that we are actually formless, that we're not someone. We might have seen that several times, lots of times. But then where does my attention go after that? Do I go back out of habits to thinking about other beings, other things, things that I think are outside of me, separate to me, that I need to get, things that I think are inside me, like emotions and that I'm trying to get rid of? Am I thinking about other beings most of the time? Am I thinking about myself as a separate being most of the time, with just these brief momentary points where I'm thinking about myself as the formlessness, I'm experiencing myself as formlessness? We can all sit here and have a massive breakthrough. You could have a massive epiphany right now that you're not separate to anything, nor could you ever be. And the only thing that ever existed was you in all your myriad of appearances, that you are Shiva, you are Krishna, and all of that. And then 10 minutes after satsang finishes, your mind is caught back up again in thinking about another being, an other being that you're having a challenge with. Of course, we're all doing this. There's no judgment here. I did this too. And this is why I'm talking about it now, to kind of stress the importance of thinking on purpose. When your mind is thinking, you can direct it to what you want to think about. If you suddenly become aware that you're thinking about something that you think is separate to you in that moment, you can redirect that. You can change that. Is this being really separate to me, actually? Is this problem real for me as the self? Do I have to invest energy and time thinking about this? So just checking in during your day, looking at where your thinking process is, what was your thought process about? Just stemming that flow if you can in that moment. I'd like to think more about the formlessness. And I'd like to become more curious about what thoughts I'm still believing. And of course, we talk often in satsang about the thoughts that we all believe, that I'm not safe, that I'm not good enough, that I'm a separate being, all of that, that we're struggling to overcome through our contemplation. But then this brings us to these few last assumptions that hardly anybody ever questions. And this is the third skill that I had to develop, to challenge the thoughts that nobody else wants to challenge because they're just assumed to be true. So right now, whether we realize it or not, unless we've already looked at this, we are all believing that there are such categories as form and formless, that those are two different things. We might believe that the objects in the room are actually sitting inside the formlessness, that there are two categories. There's forms, and then there's the formlessness, that there are two different things. And to uphold and sustain that assumption, we have to believe that the formlessness comes to an end. Where there's a form, so where my hand is, there's no formlessness. It's somehow displacing the emptiness of my being. Or we might believe that there are two things here. There's the formless space of my being and a human body sitting in that space. These are the ideas that hardly anybody questions. Can there be two categories of things in the same place? These ideas are so deeply ingrained into our human consciousness that even once we have seen that I'm not actually a thing, I am not a thing, I am the field, I am the emptiness, I am that which has no shape or definition. I am not limited. I am the infinite space of being. It still didn't occur to me that I was believing. If I was thinking about other beings and other things, then I was still agreeing that that infinite consciousness ended somewhere and something else, someone else began, that there was a break, a line, a dividing point between me and another being, that my formlessness ended somewhere. So, cultivating a habit of where to put your attention, cultivating a second habit of where to direct your thinking. And then this third and final one that became so important was to finally push through all ideas of limitation. Do I actually know what formlessness is? Am I still imagining it has an end somewhere? And if I'm thinking about believing in having challenges with other beings or things, then the answer to that is not as fully as I could do. Have I seen through this idea that formlessness can come to an end where an object begins? Or this last idea of all, that all these forms arose out of the formlessness and they're actually different to and separate from the formlessness. How often do we challenge that idea in our everyday life? Have you ever sat and looked at an object? And we can do this right now if you want to. Pick an object in the room that you're sitting in, any object at all. As you look at the edge of that object, it could be anything. It could be your own hand, it could be a table. Object that you're looking at has a size and a shape. You can do this with internal objects of thoughts and emotions as well. Can you see that you believe on some level, unquestioned still, that at the edge of that object, something different appears, formlessness. Here's a form and then formlessness, that there are two categories. Because this is the most believed idea of all, even more believed than the fact that I'm a separate being, which is relatively easy to prove to ourselves isn't true, we'll still be believing in these final two categories, form and formlessness, that there is both of those things right here, right now, when in fact, form and formless are just two different ways that the same essential core consciousness can appear. It can appear as nothing at all, and it can appear as everything, something, but it is not different. There are not actually two, even here. We can sit in satsang like this and we can contemplate this and we can have profound breakthroughs. Then unconsciously, unknowingly, our habit will be to go back to thinking about a world that exists of forms and objects. So this is why these three essential things became so important. If you really want to be free beyond all definition, all concept, beyond mind, out of the reach of mind completely, this last concept must also be deeply contemplated. Is this really a human body? Is that really a table? Is there a gap, a break in the formlessness? Could there be such a thing? Are there really all these infinite number of forms arising out of the self? And what does it mean if there isn't? If all of this is formlessness, as far as you can perceive, the planet, the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, all of it. If everything that could ever appear is actually the formlessness looking like something, but not actually being that thing. If you are that formlessness, if you've proved that to yourself in your inquiry, you can't find yourself as a thing, then the recognition will eventually hit you that you are everywhere. Everywhere that there is something and everywhere that there is nothing is you. And this is not a far off, hard to reach understanding. It's only hard to reach because out of default setting, our thinking goes back to reinforcing the idea of a world and all these objects and other beings in it. So this is as difficult to reach as an understanding experientially as we are willing to think about it. Part of becoming a sage, or allowing the sage that's already inside you to come to the forefront, is being willing to think about these most unpopular thoughts, these most uncommon thoughts. How often do you think the thought arises in a human brain? The thought that says, what if form and formless are the same thing? How often is that thought cultivated? How often does that thought become the dominant thought in someone's mind? Or the thought that I would really like to know beyond all doubt, beyond all scrutiny, without any capacity to doubt it anymore at all. The fact that you're hearing these words is profoundly amazing, because this is what's already occurring for you. Unless we cultivate that on purpose. What am I interested in? Am I as fascinated in the formlessness as I have been with form? Am I as fascinated in disproving this main assumption that they are two different things, form and formless? And I can tell you it's so worth pursuing this, not from an efforting struggle seeking, but just becoming so intensely curious about it. If you are intensely curious about what formlessness actually is, what forms really are, you have to find out. You have to. Nothing changes in your everyday experience. You still see the same things, the appearance of things that everyone else does. But whatever your eyes fall upon, whatever your ears hear, whatever you experience in any body that comes and goes, the rest of eternity will be experienced with that same depth of peace and equanimity and utter silence. Our mind can't really say anything about that thing because you know what it really, really is, or that being, because you know what they really, really are. Anything that we're thinking about, the only reason we're thinking about it is because we still think it is what we think it is. It's not a riddle or a koan. It's, if I'm thinking about someone, the more I think about them, the more they're going to seem like a separate being outside of me that I need to think about. The more curious I become about what they really actually are. Are they really the form that they appear to be? And we can do this as a whole with all forms. What really are all of these forms? Looking at the assumptions that we all take for granted. We all walk in every room and we sit down and we agree with this idea that there is empty formlessness in which the room is appearing. What if even that is not true? What if all you have ever encountered has been formlessness disguised as something? And how would that change your life? We all kind of have this well-established habit to think about things that we think are there. Habit drives our thought process. And we might have some epiphany and satsang, some realization in our daily life. But then the habit of thought will go back to recreating problems about things that we think are there. Most of all, about the thing that we think we are. Being worthy enough, being free enough, all of that. So what is the most unpopular thought that your mind doesn't want to think? And why is that? Could it be some thought that says, you know, I don't really have any issues at all. I'm already free. There is nothing other than me. Formlessness is all there is. If we keep thinking the same way, we're going to keep having the same experiences. If we're willing to cultivate, foster habits to think differently on purpose. Our mind is really intelligent when we give it something really intelligent to think about. My mind really enjoyed grasping a hold of trying to think about this formlessness and form. Are they two really different things? Could it be true that they are the same one being appearing as form and formless? My mind is like, whoa, that's so radical, and really enjoyed thinking on purpose. But do your thoughts excite you? Are they challenging? Are you bursting through boundaries? Are you pushing through limitations? Or are your thoughts mostly the same old, same old, same old? And what about your thoughts about awakening itself? Are they mostly the same old, same old? I've still got further to go. I'm not there yet. I'm not worthy enough yet. And one or two thoughts that will be plaguing everyone right now. I can't know what Helen knows. I can't do what Helen's done, or any awakened being. What she's talking about is too hard for me. I can't foster that habit. What are the thoughts that you're not challenging right now about yourself? Are you willing to awaken the Buddha within you on purpose? And I know you are, of course, otherwise you wouldn't be here, but I'm just trying to kind of light a fire or stoke the fire that's already burning inside. The mass collective habit of human beings is to think about illusion. And we're trying to turn that tide here to think about what is actually real. Just because it's what is real doesn't mean it's popular to think about, even for us here in satsang. I had to foster this within my own self. I had to come to a point where I was willing to spend some time each day thinking about things that were unfamiliar and unpopular until they became exciting. And there is so much waiting there for you when you begin to think like this. You'll feel alive again. You'll feel passionate again. You'll feel excited. You'll make friends with your mind again because it won't just be running off doing its own thing. You'll see it's actually a really good tool when we can direct it. When it's not directed, it goes back to its autopilot settings. And there is nothing more exciting than the consciousness that you are taking the shape as a human being and thinking on purpose. What if every week you got together with three or four Sangha members and had a discussion like this? Like, what thoughts are we still believing? What thoughts does every human being believe? What can we challenge today? Your life would turn around. And the more you foster this habit, the more your mind will go there by itself on purpose anyway. We just have to be a little more conscious of where our thought process is going. Did you know that you can have a thought appear spontaneously in your mind that says, I am all there is, and it will feel true? We must open the doorway for that. You can also have a thought that says, form and formless are two synonyms, and it will feel stunningly true. It doesn't matter whether you're showing up as something or nothing or everything. Your experience is the same, same, same. Whether I feel like someone today, whether I feel like nothing at all, the vast emptiness of being, or whether I'm deeply in love with all of creation. So I'm not talking about some faraway place here. What reality actually is, what you actually are, the place where there is only one, there isn't even the two of form and formless, is not hard to reach. It's hard to get the attention to go there on purpose only. That's the only hurdle to overcome. And as human beings, we have a choice in every moment what we focus upon. And I hope that that has inspired you to kind of go to places within your own consciousness that are not really often tread. That is the purpose of satsang, to at least every time we're in satsang, to go to these places inside our own consciousness where we're thinking about things that we don't normally think about. So I hope that has kind of struck a chord somewhere or lit some fire, or turned up the heat on that fire. You have so much inside you, so much. Infinite wisdom, peace and joy available, but they must be kind of sought out inside, not seeking as in efforting, but directing attention on purpose. Whether that's just being the emptiness of our being the formlessness, or deep in self-inquiry about what this object that I'm looking at or thinking about really is. It's always up to us, always. If you grasp that one thing, you'll be right back in control of your awakening. That's the message I wanted to get across today, was really that you are in control. It doesn't need to take a long time. It will take as long as it takes to direct your thinking on purpose, to become really interested. A sage is really only one that has challenged the thoughts that nobody else challenges. And that could be you today, couldn't it? Right now, that could be you right now. And then we're free forever, and you can think about whatever you want.